Now, as we have started a tradition a few months back, a place in an extra wafer and cup on this little pedestal representing those who are Christ's sheep but have not yet heard his voice, those that we will be led to by God to share his gospel with. And one fine day they will be here with us partaking. The night before he was betrayed, arrested, beaten, slapped, spit upon, falsely convicted, scourged, pierced. For all that happened, he sat down with his disciples and he took the bread of the Passover meal and he broke it. So this is my body which is broken for you. Eat and remember me. And he took the cup and said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the blood that is shed for the removal, for the purification of all your sin. Drink and remember me. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the grace, the amazing grace that takes sinners as us and turns them into saints and children of God. Lord, you have given us your righteousness, not our own. You paid for it on the cross. You went into the tomb and proved who you were and how your sacrifice was perfect by overcoming death, defeating sin and defeating death, all for us, because you loved us. Lord, I thank you for the amazing gift. We thank you and praise you for who you are. And now, Lord, as we enter in time of opening up your word, I ask you to open up our minds and our hearts. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Speak to us this morning. We just pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, the car fire. Let me get my notes out here. And kids, you guys are doing great. All the kids in here, they're usually in children's church. They're doing great. We'll see if they make it through a sermon. The real test. The car fire. This morning is our first time back together as a church since the fire. Our city, our lives have been changed. For some, very, very drastically. Others, not so much, but we all of us have been affected. But as with all things in this life, the good and the bad, we must look to God for guidance and strength, trust in him when we don't understand, believing in him when it matters the most. This last month for me has been very challenging. I was gone with the military and came right back, and my first Sunday back, we were evacuated. And this last month, last few weeks, have been challenging for me as a pastor, as an Army chaplain, as a husband and father, and quite frankly, just as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've learned things about God, about myself, about our church, our community, about our society as a whole. During this car fire, we have seen the best in humanity, have we not? The first responders and the people so willing to sacrifice and serve, and the community coming out and showing how thankful they are. We've seen the best in humanity, people wanting to take care of others. We've also seen the worst in humanity. Those that would sneak into areas to loot and steal from those who have had to be evacuated. Trying to get into our neighborhood one day, there was a man out there wanting to get in the neighborhood, and it was still blocked off and so disrespectful. He's lucky I wasn't standing in the crowd. Wendy was. I was in the van with the kids, being so disrespectful to the lady from Cal Fire who was doing her best. We've seen the worst. This fire has also revealed certain truths from Scripture that we may have always known these truths, but now, in light of the fire, they're more real, they're more present. The first one is something Jesus warned us about in Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For many, this fire took everything they owned. It's amazing how quick a lifetime of work can be destroyed, taken away. For those who live, whose lives revolve around material things, this is beyond devastating. I've met a few of those in this last week. But for people like Lori, though devastating, it is not beyond hope. For as Lori so beautifully stated after losing all she had in her fire, in this fire, it is well with my soul. The car fire could not take from Lori what God has truly given her, his love, his hope, his peace, all through Jesus Christ. Amen? This fire has also revealed the truth from the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. None of us could have imagined this disaster 2 weeks ago. You know, we do not know what tomorrow will bring. Tomorrow is Monday. I don't even know what the date is. I've lost track of the days, but tomorrow is Monday. It may hold great joy for us, or it might hold great sorrow. We do not know yet. Because we live in a fallen world, cursed by humanity's sin. The Bible tells us the creation groans under the weight of all that sin. We have no guarantees in this life under the sun, no hope that is certain. The best we can do is wish upon a star and hope for the best. Even if we get the best in this life, our lives are but a vapor. Without God, without Jesus Christ, human existence on this world is without any lasting, true meaning. But thankfully, God does exist. Jesus Christ did come, and in doing so, gave us hope, gave us meaning and purpose. And for us who know God, who have been born again by his grace, disasters like the car fire do not define us. Earthly treasures lost do not steal our hope and our joy. A bad tomorrow does not truly harm us, because we have access to a peace beyond human understanding. We have an eternal hope that sees us through the bad. Even in the storms and tragedies in this life, we have hope. But how many do not have this wonderful gift? How many are struggling to find any hope in this world? How many never find true peace? How many are searching in all the wrong places? Within a couple hundred feet of this church right now are people with no hope who are searching. I just went out and I invited a guy who's sleeping in the street across the way, Subway. I invited him to come in here. Didn't come. They're searching in all the wrong places. Jesus said it himself in Matthew 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I believe as a pastor, this morning we need to take a good look at what has happened in our town. Figure out how best we can help the people in our town. Not just in physical recovery from this disaster, but more importantly, spiritual recovery. Because there is a greater disaster that is coming upon this town, and yes, the entire world. For many are going to find themselves in a disaster far greater than the car fire. A disaster we can help them avoid. Today I want to continue in our study through the book of Revelation, because the next passage I thought spoke to me as I asked God what he wanted me to talk about this Sunday. I believe this passage today will help us understand the disaster of the fire in light and context of how we should respond as believers in Jesus Christ, how we should respond as First Baptist Church of Reading. We are in the section of book of Revelation called the seven churches, seven letters to seven churches. These were seven real churches of that day, but these seven churches represent all churches throughout all of the church age. Every church will fall into one of these types, or maybe a combination of two, but every church is represented in these seven, including every believer. You are represented in one of these as well. Today we'll be looking at the Church of Philadelphia. I've entitled this sermon, The Faithful Church. That's what it's called, the Church of Philadelphia. But I've added, The Faithful Church, Our Calling. But before we begin this passage, I want to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. For those that know their Bibles, they know Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. And God spoke to all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. The very first commandment. Now, I know as believers in Jesus Christ, we are no longer under the law. But for those outside of Christ, the law still applies. And there are many outside of Christ today in our town, in our country, and in the world. There are even many who claim to be believers in Christ who are actually outside of Christ. Why? Because of this very first commandment. You see, the first commandment is probably the one broken most of all the commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, when most read this verse, they think Old Testament gods, false gods like Zeus, Baal, Ra. But you see, one of the greatest false gods that people believe in today, especially here in America, is the Christian God and his son Jesus Christ. Now, I am not speaking, before you get up and walk out, I am not speaking of the God of the Bible and his son Jesus Christ, the one we believe in today. But a false Christian God that many do believe in. A God who only requires that a person knows about him. A God that desires religious ceremonies and rules. A God who requires no relationship with him. A Jesus who is just love and always overlooks sin and disobedience to his word. A God who requires no repentance of sin and does not care about how a person actually lives their life. A God who does not judge, and definitely a God who does not judge anyone into hell. You see, today many people have created a false God from the true biblical God. A false God that celebrates sinful lifestyles. A God who promotes self-centered living and materialism. A God created by people based on their own desires and feelings, but not based on the revelation of God in the Bible. This is an epidemic that afflicts the masses today. Like I said, I just spent 2 weeks with soldiers from all over the country. Up there in Washington, there were soldiers from Puerto Rico, there were soldiers from all over the place. I got to meet with them and talk with them. And the majority of them that I met claimed a belief in God. But they live lives completely contrary to the standards given to us by God. This last week here, after I returned, I went out to the camps here filled with firefighters and first responders, the National Guard, and talked with them. I went to evacuation centers filled with people who believe in a false God. I talked to people around this church quite often who believe in a false God, a false Christian God, who is okay with their drug use, foul language, and deviant lifestyles. There is a spiritual epidemic ravaging our people. It's been caused by churches that have become corrupt, compromising, and dead. False teachers who have taught people a false gospel and a false Christianity. A false faith, an easy belief system passed on by parents to their children and grandchildren. A false religion that has enslaved millions around us. And when disasters like the car fire happen, people are left with no real understanding why these things happen. They are left looking for hope where there is none. This disaster should be a wake-up call to us as a church, to the lost conditions of those around us. For this life is but a vapor, and our time is short. For we know not what will happen tomorrow. It is time for us to bring the cure for this spiritual epidemic ravaging our people. It is time for us to become the faithful church, to bring the truth of what God has really revealed to humanity about himself, what he has revealed to us about ourselves, to pull back the darkness of biblical ignorance, to unveil the false God of Christianity that so many people believe in today. So with that intro, let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. To the angel of church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. He who is holy and true, Jesus, who is perfect, sinless, pure in nature, good, one who not only speaks truth, but is the truth. Jesus, who holds the key of David, a reference from the book of Isaiah, meaning that Jesus holds all authority on who can enter his eternal kingdom and who cannot enter in. Jesus, who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens, describing Christ's sovereignty, his divine plan that he will accomplish despite humanity's rebellion. He tells the church, I know your works. He finds no fault in their works. Their works are pure. So the promise is given. Look, see, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. An open door of ministering to the lost. And though some would like to shut that door, some would like to keep the name of Jesus outside, out of the public arena, they can't stop it. The faithful church will be able to fulfill the Great Commission. He has opened the door for that, to reach the lost in this world. But it takes the faithful church to be faithful to share his gospel. And when the faithful church shares the gospel, there will be those who respond. It's a guarantee. Not all, but some. Some will respond. I want to introduce you to Private First Class Pete, one of my soldiers in my new battalion up in Washington State. One of the first services I held out there, we call a field service, and a lot of times it's in a tent, but it's a field service, and if weather permitting, I like to hold it in a field. So I held it in a field. Sun was setting. It was a beautiful, beautiful, God's beautiful Washington State all around us, mountains and trees. I challenged the soldiers about the difference in knowing about God versus knowing God. Private Pete knew about God, but he did not know him. He believed in a false God who did not care about his sin. Pete grew up in a church, but was never given the true gospel, never taught what the Bible actually says. So many of the soldiers I interacted with, the very first, before Wendy dropped me off down in Concord at our little base, within 10 minutes of her leaving the parking lot, a soldier came to me, stressed out, needing to talk. The second day, a soldier comes to me. His wife had just left him. Soldiers with their lives spinning out of control. Marital problems, divorce, depression, stress. But the biggest thing I noticed, you see, I've been here for almost 5 years. My job has been this church. I was out as a missionary. I was out amongst the pagan populace. And know what I noticed? And sometimes I notice it here, but what I really noticed out there, I didn't see anybody with joy. There was no joy. Pete came to me after my little service, and he said he wanted to know God. So I shared the gospel. He responded, and he called out to Jesus for salvation. We were able to baptize him out there. This is a little lake on base. And I have a video. I'm going to want you to start it, and then I'll tell you to click it because I don't want to play the whole thing, but just want to show you. Go ahead. Video's not good. Quality.
Testify publicly to the world, to his friends, of what God has done for him by faith. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what Peter's done. And today he's going to publicly proclaim his faith in Jesus Christ by being baptized. So, Pete, is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we're going to step out. Not too deep, because he can't swim. Not too deep, but you got to trust me, all right? All right. We're going to baptize. So come on out, Pete.
The man of cold. All right, I'm going to turn you this way, Pete. Now, in a second, I'm going to have to cover your nose. So I don't want water going up in there. And then when you go into the water, you close your mouth. All right, take a breath first, okay? All right, go ahead and cover your nose. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you in the death of Jesus Christ, buried with him in his death, raised in newness of life to walk with him. You guys can clap now.
Woo!
All right, click it. The door was open. Was open to all these soldiers. I met all so many soldiers, and I was able to share with many of them. There are a few warming up. I had one soldier he came from India, Specialist Sharma. And he sat down with me, and he had some of the best thought-out questions. He had studied Hinduism. He had studied the teachings of the Buddha, and he had studied the Quran, and now he wanted to know about Christianity. And boy, we had a great talk. The door is open. People are searching. But most of the time in their search, they're given a cheap, false substitute for the truth. God will give the faithful church an open door, and we must take it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. And I'm so glad that's in there. This church is not a mega church. It's a small church. And it doesn't have a lot of strength, a lot of resources. But that doesn't matter because they've kept the word. And have not denied my name. So God has opened the door for them. Verse 9. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. A synagogue, what is that? What religion is that related to? Judaism. What is Judaism? Judaism is the belief in the real God and the Old Testament scriptures. But Judaism came to a point where it denied God's Messiah. It denied Jesus Christ. So with the rejection of Jesus, Judaism became as much a tool of Satan as any other false religion. It is the same with many Christian churches today. Once they leave the authority of the Word of God, and they create a God who is not based on the biblical truth, that church becomes a tool of Satan, leading people away from the true God and onto a broad road leading to their destruction. But for the church that remains faithful, God in His timing will help that church overcome and reach those who are lost. Verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also, I'm going to stop there. Because you kept my command to persevere. It's a command to persevere. What does persevere mean? To hold fast to abide in. What are we to abide in? What are we to hold fast to? Well, it's the faith. But our faith is based on what? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word brings us to God. The Word sanctifies the believer. John 17, 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. The Word is what we are to share with those who are lost in the epidemic of false Christianity and flat-out pagan unbelief. The writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews chapter 10 this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day capitalized approaching. We are to be serious about what we believe. We are to be serious about being the church, coming together to exhort each other in the faith, to do the good works of growing in Christ and sharing Christ. So much more as you see the day approaching. And what day is that? Judgment day. For God has fixed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness. He has given us the assurance, the promise, the guarantee of this by raising him from the dead. Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus Christ, he had the knowledge of God. He had the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus was. He had the blood of the new covenant was there for him to receive, but he rejected it. He trampled it. He insulted the Spirit of grace. Today, many claim a belief in God, to have the understanding of the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, but who continue to live lives contrary to the calling of God. These people are in a very dangerous place, believing in a false God who does not care about their sinfulness, their disobedience. But in reality, they are going to face judgment and fiery indignation. We must warn them. Just like the car fire disaster, we wanted people to be warned of the danger. We wanted to see people moved to safety. We admire the first responders who rushed into danger to save people. My brothers, my sisters, we are called to warn people. We must be the spiritual first responders, because there is a disaster coming that is far worse than the car fire. Revelation 3, verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. An hour of trial, the tribulation period, the 7 years of God's judgment on the earth, also called Jacob's trouble, 7 years foretold in this book of Revelation. 7 years that we can save people from if we are faithful as a church and as individual believers. For the faithful will be raptured out before this hour of trial that comes upon the whole world. I'll speak about that in the weeks to come. Revelation 3, verse 11. Behold, Jesus says, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. A pillar in the temple, he shall go out no more. I will write on the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and my new name. All these are saying this, that once you become a child of God, your citizenship is guaranteed in God's kingdom. But look at the first part of the verse. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes. True believers will always overcome. They will be faithful to obey Christ. They are not perfect. They experience victories and failures. But true believers in time always overcome. Their faithfulness in overcoming and following Christ proves they are true believers. Those that fall back or fall away are proving themselves to be false in the long run. And we are not those that fall back. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence in God, who he is, what he's done for us, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, in context, this is talking about God's faithfulness of eternal life. But this last week, after all that had happened in my family, we sacrificed, we went through some stuff, but we did not sacrifice or come, you know, lose anything like Lori did. But it was a hard week. Those 2 weeks in Washington, I was spiritually drained. I came back here and this thing happened, and I just personally, I was down. And it was Friday morning. We're sitting in the church here. Jackie, where's Jackie? Jackie, fiery redhead back there. She came in and she sat with me for just a few minutes. She said, I have a verse I want to share. And she shared this verse. I was being attacked spiritually, and I was doubting. I was doubting my calling. I was doubting all sorts of stuff. When she spoke this verse, I knew it was God talking to me. Literally, God was coming up behind me and slapping me upside the head again, because that seems to be the only thing I understand. That after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We've been traveling this journey to become a faithful church for 4 years and 9 months now. It's been a 5-year journey that will conclude in 3 months on November 1st. It's been a long journey. But God was telling me, here, you've done my will. I've showed you the plan. You've stayed the course. Hold, keep trusting in me. Don't lose confidence in me. You'll receive the promise. I needed to hear that, Jackie. For you have need of endurance, so after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Like I said, we started this journey 4 years and 9 months ago. There have been those who have left us who did not want this journey, did not want the word, did not want the accountability of being a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. But we who have remained, we have persevered. We have sought to abide in Christ, to do church according to Scripture, to walk by faith and not by sight. We have grown in knowledge of the Word. We have begun to share the Word and the gospel with others. We have begun to outreach to our community. We have 3 months left in this journey. We must finish it strong. We must not draw back. We must not become complacent, and we must not lose hope. This town has suffered a tremendous tragedy, but there is something far worse than the car fire coming. Not downplaying the disaster, but there is something far worse coming. An hour of testing that will come upon the whole world. What the people of this town need the most is a church that will be faithful to bring the love, the hope, and the peace of Jesus Christ to them. We must let them know the truth of what God's word actually says, that there is only one way. Only Jesus holds the key of David. Only through a born-again relationship with Christ can a person enter the kingdom of God. We must be faithful to this calling. We are to be the spiritual first responders, willing to sacrifice it all for the salvation of others. It will not be easy. It hasn't been easy. It will not become easy. But people need to hear. The unbelievers in this world, those who have never heard the gospel, and those who have heard a false gospel, they need to be warned. The world needs to know this, and this is my closing verse for the day. 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? A false, shallow belief in God and Jesus Christ does not make a person righteous. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Me. Such were some of you. You see, the false understanding that God is okay with you remaining in your sin is wrong. Such were some of you. He calls us out of darkness into the light. And such were some of you. Too many people believe that God is okay with their sinfulness. They don't repent. They don't put their faith and follow Him. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. The world needs to know it's not about simply believing in God or knowing about God and Jesus Christ. It is about being spiritually born again by the Spirit of God, being washed in the blood of Christ, receiving His righteousness, not our own, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and being justified by faith in Jesus Christ. A person must turn from sinful ways, embrace God's ways. Only then are we guaranteed that salvation. Too many people are being deceived in this world, and our calling is clear. We must become the faithful church, each one of us. This fire has revealed that there is no guarantee in life. This world can take everything we have. It can even take our life. But what this world cannot ever take from us is the love of God. And this disaster has been bad. I know people have lost loved ones. They have lost their homes. And I want to be there as much as we can to help those people. But there is a far greater disaster coming, and we're not prepared. I don't know how many of you felt Reading officials were on top of their game and ready for this disaster. What? Well, the relief ever come in, but did the Reading officials here, was the city ready for this? No, there was so much bad information, so much confusing things. The city was not ready for this disaster. The people that came in and helped us out, Cal Fire and all National Guard, they knew their stuff. They were ready. The city officials were not ready. Folks, the disaster that is coming, many people in this town are not ready. It is up to us and other faithful churches in this town to reach the 90,000 plus people that are lost in a false Christianity, who are lost in total unbelief. Will we be the spiritual first responders? That is what God is calling us to be. Let us help them as much as we can physically recover, but more importantly, let's help this town spiritually recover. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that's what you put on my heart, and I have preached your word. I ask you to give it people hearts to hear it and receive it. Lord, I continue to pray for those who have lost something. I continue to pray for Lori. Give them strength. Give them courage to face each new day with you. Lord, I ask you to help us as a church to understand, as bad as this disaster has been, there's one coming that's much worse. And we, and maybe we alone, stand here in this town. We are the ones that can get others ready so they can escape that judgment, that hour. Lord, that's what's so important. Our lives are but a vapor. We don't know what tomorrow holds. So let us take the moment now to glorify you, to worship you, to be obedient to you, and use every moment we have from here on out until our vapor is gone, to share with people the truth of who you really are. Let us be faithful to your calling. Let us be a faithful church. Let us be faithful believers. Help us, Lord. For your glory and for your honor, because you are worthy. And all God's people said, amen. All right, not bad. You guys got spoiled with Rich and Gordon letting you out early and on time, so... Welcome back. Thank you. If anyone needs help, call us. I don't know if the church phone lines are fixed yet, but I know you have our cell numbers, or come talk to me. We are still taking up, if you can,